Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic Community at Stanford University. These are a series of podcasts of Sunday homilies, reflections, and occasional talks given by the staff of the Catholic Community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Nathan Castle, OP, Director Pastor of the Catholic Community. It is the first Sunday of Advent. The readings are from Cycle A.
The prophet Isaiah tries to put God's dream into words. And he gets people's attention and says, this is what I saw. This is what God is about to do. He speaks of a mountain and says, in the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house will be established as the highest mountain. It'll be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream toward it. Many peoples will come and say, come, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, that he may teach us his ways, and we may walk in his paths. And then from there will go instruction. And all the peoples will begin to take their swords and implements of war and turn them into garden tools. And we'll be done with war. This is God's dream, as Isaiah puts it. For most of human history, people tried to make sense of their surroundings, and it seemed as though we lived on a flat plain, like a table. Mostly stable. Sometimes it quakes. But most of the time, the earth beneath our feet stays put. It looks firm. But the fact that it quakes sometimes, and the fact that sometimes you can see water spring up from underneath it, suggested to them that it must be built sort of on the edge of a marsh. And if you were going to build on the edge of a marsh, you'd have to put down poles, footings, something to make it sturdy. So they thought that the earth had some kind of footings beneath it that made it stable, even though water could come up out of it, and it sometimes shook. They knew that there was plenty of power in the world, all kinds of power, but most of it appeared to be in the sky. The big light of the sun, and the lesser light, the moon, and all the stars, and then the lightning, and thanks be to God, the rain that we couldn't live without. It looked like all this power danced through the sky. And they also had an idea that we human persons, must have come from one who was in some ways like us, in other ways not. That we must descend from the one who made all this, who had the power to bring it all into being. And that one appeared to live in the sky, and so many peoples had a kind of two-tiered universe, an earth and a heavens above. And lots of people felt like the heavens were the dwelling of God or the gods. But that if we wanted to interact, if we wanted to touch God and let God touch us, we needed to find a meeting point. And it made sense that that point would be between earth and heaven, which leads us to the top of a mountain, or whatever in your region came close to being one, a hill or some kind of height. All over the world, this pattern played out. And very often, peoples would find a mountain in the place that they dwelt, or a high place, and there you'd find some kind of worship center, a temple, an altar, some place where we strove and ascended and tried to come into contact with God, offered things there, or did whatever we thought we might in order to please God or contact God. Well, Isaiah has this vision that, yes, that's true, but the mountain of the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem. That one's going to be raised above all the mountains, and nations will stream toward it from all over the place. And the thing that they'll be saying is, we want to be taught. Instruction will flow from this place. Well, we live in a place where people come to be taught, and instruction flows from this place. So we might be better disposed than some to get it. That in order to be instructed, you have to start by knowing that you don't know it all. And bring a humble heart and say, I'm capable of learning. I want to know you. Teach me your ways. Peoples who had lived with war and sometimes with peace, alternating, they really knew that peace was better than war. And if there was a way to end war and only live in peace, we'd really prefer that. Wouldn't it be good if we could take all the resources that we spend on making machinery of war? What if we turn that all into tools, especially ones that could help things grow? Well, I'm intrigued by that point, that apex, that place where God might be encountered. Isaiah had everybody streaming up to it, but that also presumed that you were capable of the climb, and not everybody is. I think there came a point further down the line, a few centuries later, when God decided to make the descent, because God wants us even more than we want God. And there later came a point in God's dream where we're told, in the words of John, that word that went out as instruction on Mount Zion, now that word takes flesh. It becomes a little person. Becomes a specific little person. A poor person, a low-born person, a peasant, an immigrant. But it becomes this person. The word becomes flesh because somebody said yes. It's depicted in the window in the back there. The angels coming to Mary and offering this wild possibility. Can you imagine allowing God to live inside of you and be born of you? Can you imagine yourself and God being that intimate? And then can you imagine what might happen after this Spirit of God is set forth in the world in the person of your child? As we begin a new year in the church, we're invited into this dream that's bigger than you could have ever imagined. And I believe it spirals or deepens, or somehow it gets presented to each of us tonight. The point of contact between God and people shifted mightily in the person of Jesus. He became the first fruits of this new thing that God wanted to do. Mary took part in it. Jesus is enfleshed. And he kept telling us, stay together. I'm not always going to be with you in this form the way you're used to, but I'm going to come back and be with you in an even more intimate way. And even after they all betrayed, and those stories are told in some detail, how everybody betrayed him, he ends up coming back to them when they're in hiding and saying, peace be with you. Peace be with you. He sends messages to people and says, make sure that you gather together again. Don't be dispersed. Gather together and he'll meet you in Galilee. It's there you'll see him. But what started happening is not just seeing images of Jesus, but soon shaking, quaking, being filled with the Spirit of God, becoming the thing that people used to stream to. But becoming the point of contact between God and people. The temple gets destroyed, and then it gets rebuilt. But we find out that we're it, that we're the new temple. We're the new residents of God's life on the earth. It's magnificent. It's just so hard to believe. But now, instead of all the nations having to find a remote site and stream up a mountain together, now this point of encounter is mobile. It goes wherever you go. All you need to do is say yes to the project. I'm honored. I'm not worthy. I'm honored. I can't imagine what you would want to do this in me for, but let it be done to me according to your word. Go ahead. I'd love to take part. I think then of like a pebble in a pond and the effect that we can have all over the place. But not just one point, but one for each one of us. And as powerful as God is, you're in a better position than God in a whole network of people. All the people in your extended family, people you might have just been with in the last few days, people at work, people in the neighborhood, people you haven't met yet, people you might impact who you'll never even know you had any impact on at all. How would you get ready for such a task on the first day of the year if you wanted to say, absolutely, make me the point of contact? Make me the pinnacle. Well, you might want to start by being as absolutely spiritually receptive as you could be. And that might mean getting something out of the way. And we have just the thing for that. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, right here. A communal penance service where we all come and say, I am not worthy of any of this. Nevertheless, I can be improved upon. I can be bettered. I know it. Go ahead. If you've not used the sacrament of reconciliation in a long time, I'm inviting you back tomorrow night. There'll be, I think we got 5 or 6 priests, so there'll be a couple that you know and several that you won't. If you'd rather go to somebody that won't see you again, that's perfectly fine. If one of us can assist you, that's what we're here for. And we have to do the same thing with one another. That sacrament, it's often been taught in terms of personal holiness and one's own scorecard. Getting right with God. But another way to think of it is, if you really wanted to be as useful as you possibly could be for God, if you could be a shining point of light in the world to demonstrate God's love somewhere when you're trying to or when you're not even thinking about it. If you were at your most receptive so that God's light just poured through you, maybe you receive that sacrament not so much for you, but for other people around you and people you don't even know. Maybe you just come to God and say, I don't know what you would want to do through me, but I want to be ready for it. And so, would you forgive me, clean me, own me? I'm thinking of when Mary received that invitation, one of the ways that her response gets translated is, my soul magnifies the Lord. Wouldn't that be a reason for living? Can you think of something more important? To be able to say, well, I don't know, I can do this and I can do a little of that, but mostly I want to magnify the Lord. I don't want people to have to stream to some distant mountaintop, go to some inaccessible place and hope that they can gain God's attention. They might be able to do that right here. I might be able to make that connection happen. Lord, if you want to do that with me, why, please, be my guest. Go right ahead. Then this whole Christmas thing begins to make sense. The incarnation, not just something that happened to somebody long ago and far away that gets remembered annually, but something more powerful that than even the first time, being repeated and replicated all over the place. Christ being born again and again and again, hope being given, joy to the world, all that stuff that we start focusing on this time of the year. It could all start with you, with the invitation of God's grace to well up inside you. It happens here at this Mass when we receive the Eucharist, but it might happen even more powerfully tomorrow if you get an opportunity to take part, tell your story, and receive a gift of God, a kind of early Christmas gift that might be a blessing to everybody around you, maybe even people you don't even know you had any impact on.
Thank you for listening to Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic Community at Stanford University. For more information, please call us at 650-725-0080 or email us at catholic@stanford.edu. Please visit our offices at the third floor of Old Union at the Center for Interreligious Community Learning and Experiences or mail us at the Catholic Community at Stanford, P.O. Box 20301, Stanford, California 94309. This is Father Isaiah Mary Milano, O.P., Associate Director, Parochial Vicar for the Catholic Community at Stanford, and the voice of Catholic Cardinal Reflections. Till next time, God bless you.